Jesus truly is awe-inspiring. Would you offer your worship, your personal praise to Him? There is none like You, Jesus. First and last, beginning and ending. We honor You. We glorify You together as believers. He truly is a wonder. I was reminded of Isaiah's prophecy of Jesus. He'll be called, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And Jesus Himself said in Revelation, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Aren't you thankful for Him in your life? We truly understand why He came, and we have more than just book knowledge, but we have an experience with Jesus Christ. Would you offer your thanksgiving on this Sunday morning for the wonder, the awe-inspiring experience that you have with Him? Lord, I thank You for life-changing power, how You've redeemed us and set us free, given us new life, and we rejoice in that today. Amen. I'm going to direct your attention to John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, 46th verse. And while you're preparing to hear that, or just before I read it, I do want to say it is a delight to be in God's house with all of you and our guests that are here. And as Brother Spall mentioned, our pastor's back in action. We missed him last week, and I'm so thankful for that. God's given us a beautiful day out there. And for those of you that were here last week, you'll be pleased to know that I guess the spirit of Christmas has hit me. I started listening to Christmas music this week, so everything's okay. John 12 and 46 says, I have come, this is Jesus speaking, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in Me should not abide or stay in darkness. Jesus is explaining that He came as a light to shine in a spiritually dark world. And He says, no one who has faith in Me will go on living in the dark. Jesus Christ is the light. And so I want to bring to you this message this morning, the light of Christmas for your dark days. The light of Christmas for your dark days. And if you would, before you're seated, lift a hand heavenward and let's ask God in this wonderful atmosphere to continue ministering to us. Lord Jesus, we appreciate so much Your presence, and I know that worship has gotten Your attention today, and You're flooding this place with Your glory and Your love. And now combine Your word with it, Your inspired word, and let it have its intended effect today in the hearts of people. I pray Your will would be accomplished among us all. And I ask that You would do these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are lots of fun parts to Christmas, to be sure. And one fun part, I would say, is seeing all the lights that are put on display. I guess the stores, retail stores especially, get at it first. I want to say September nowadays, which is a little too early for me, as you well know, from my explanation last week. But they get after it. And then, of course, municipalities, residents of neighborhoods start putting up their lights. And we even have a professional light guy here at the church. I just thought of this. Matt Adams, there's a little business for you, sir. Call him for 2019. He'll put up lights on your house. But it is nice to drive through neighborhoods and see what various ones have done. At least that's what I do. I don't have any lights, so it's fun. And the last few years, we've had drive-through light displays. They're all through the metropolitan area where you can go through and maybe even some walk through. And it's pretty cool to see the themes that they have and all the light displays. And even here at APC, I don't know if you noticed, but when you walked in the lobby, we had a light display. Thanks to Thomas Van Winkle and the AVM crew. Isn't that nice? If you didn't see it, you were oblivious to it, see it when you go out. A lot of you wouldn't have seen this, but one of our church vans is decorated with lights. And we thank Brother Brad Huffnagel for that. And you'll have to take a look. Maybe tonight you can drive it around the block a few times or something. Let people see it. And on that subject, Brad Huffnagel, Dan Crum, and John Sykes are our three primary drivers bringing people to church that might not ordinarily have a ride. I thank them for that all through the year for what they do. Appreciate it. That's not the easiest of jobs. They get here very early before all of us and get the van warmed up as necessary and going, and then they stay later than us and come back to their own vehicles, so it really is appreciated. And I don't know where the tradition of displaying lights originated. I guess you could Google it. I clearly wasn't interested enough to do that. But I do know this, that Lights played a role in the first Christmas. In Luke's gospel, the second chapter, we're told shepherds were keeping their flock at night, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord. Try imagining that. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Such a glory of God's presence that it brought a light to the area where they were tending this sheep. And as a result of the revelation of the angel, they ended up in Bethlehem to see the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In Matthew's gospel, the second chapter, wise men or magi saw a bright light in the sky, and it led them eventually to Jesus Christ, the one that John said, in whom was life, and the life was the light of men. As an infant, Jesus couldn't voice it, but later in his adulthood, in the text that I read to you today, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world. That's why I'm here. That whosoever, and this is the further reason, that whoever believes in me should not abide or stay in darkness. Sin, going back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve's disobedience put us all in spiritual darkness. But Jesus says, I have come as a light to lead you out of that spiritual darkness. And by showing up with his plan of redemption, Jesus fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, hear this, light has dawned. I'm glad for the light of Jesus Christ that has dawned in the hearts of believers. Thanks to Jesus, we who are born again, we're God's own special people, and we proclaim the praises of him who has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Aren't you glad for the marvelous light in which you can live all because of Jesus Christ? Why don't you offer more thanksgiving for what he means to you? More celebration. If you've got faith in Jesus, you're living in marvelous light. It's his marvelous light. And nothing can quench that or take it away from you. So Christmas, the story of Christ's birth, means that there's a light. The light of Christ for your dark days. It's not the most pleasant of subjects, but we have to be frank and acknowledge that everybody has dark days or seasons of life. Times when we just can't seem to see our way. Things don't come together clearly for us. There's the stress, the strain of everyday living. Times when we are weak and frail, emotionally, maybe even physically, because of things that are going on. And we might even have thoughts like, why bother? What's the point? What's the use of trying to change things? We'll just live with it as it is. We all go through dark days. And salvation, our faith in Jesus Christ, doesn't exempt us from problems and trouble. I wish that were the case, but if I understand the Bible correctly, that's what heaven's going to be all about. So we're not exempt from problems and trouble, but the Bible, of course, is filled with examples of godly men and women who had dark days. And if I might just insert here, when you're going through a dark day in life, that doesn't mean that you have necessarily sinned, okay? Sometimes we go into a dark season of life and we start scratching our heads wondering, what have I done wrong? No, it doesn't work that way. Lots of godly men and women had dark days. Hannah went through a very trying time of being unable to bear a child. Job lost his possessions, material possessions, 10 children, and his health all in roughly 48 hours. A dark day came to him. David faced the threat of death from Saul that was unjustified. There was no reason for it except for Saul's jealousy and hatred. So we all have dark days. And some of those dark days are filled with doubt. Whatever the reason, to whatever the degree, we all face dark days of doubt now and again. And I would say circumstances are many times the primary reason that we have dark days of doubt. And Jesus said, the obvious, that he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. When there's doubt in our minds and our spirits, we're not sure of the future. The way is not clear for us. Abraham and Sarah doubted that they could have a son because of their circumstances. They were advanced in age. Moses doubted that he could be used to deliver Israel from captivity because of circumstances. In his mind, he lacked authority and couldn't communicate clearly in a public setting. The 10 scouts that were sent into the promised land to look it over, they doubted that Israel as a nation could take that land because of circumstances. Giants lived there and there were well-defended cities. Gideon doubted that the Lord was really with Israel. Because of circumstances, there were Midianites, their enemies, everywhere they looked in that period of their history. And certainly Mary doubted that she could give birth because of her circumstances. She was an unmarried woman who had kept herself chaste, and so what she was being told was impossible. So dark days do leave you unsure in your life at times. I imagine Gabriel's news to Mary that she was going to have a child must have brought 1,000 questions to her mind about the future. What is it going to look like? What does my future hold? How is this all going to work out? And where am I headed? And in times of uncertainty in our lives, we could have the staunchest of faith in God, but we might find ourselves doubting. We can doubt God's love, wondering, if God loved me, why did he allow fill in the blank? Or we could doubt God's care. If he really cared, why didn't he do something? Or even doubt God's faithfulness. What's going to happen to me? What's in store for me? And what does my future hold? In the dark days of doubt, you're just not sure where you're going or what the future holds. There are also dark days of distress that come. And certainly Mary felt some distress in that very first Christmas. In the first place, she was 9 months pregnant and had to ride a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I think that would be stressful. Any moms think you would agree? And then, if that wasn't enough, she had her first baby alone in a stable. And as far as we know, all she had was Joseph there to help her. And if Joseph is anything like me, he wasn't much help at a time like that. I remember when we were expecting our first child, Angela, turned out to be a girl, not a boy. Oh, well. No, I'm kidding. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Believe me, I have two great daughters. But we were expecting, so we enrolled in those classes over at Barnes Hospital. Another couple, Stan and Renee Thacker and us, we lived close to each other. We would carpool and go, I think it was Monday nights, week after week after week, learning all about the process of childbirth and what to do and what not to do. And Stan and I were officially dubbed as coaches. That was our title. And we particularly had the job of learning how to help our expectant mothers when the time came to breathe through the process. And we were taught things like hee-hee and hoo-hoo and ha-ha. I don't even remember what it all was about. But, you know, we had to go through all that. So week after week after week, we're going through all this process. And then the time came for Angela to be born. And because it was around the holidays, she was born on the 31st of December, at Barnes, they couldn't guarantee, due to some personnel changes, that we would have an anesthesiologist. And so that being rather important to my wife, we switched hospitals. We packed up and moved to the old Christian Northwest, and unfortunately, they were a little late getting the epidural after all that, so it was a little rough, and I was along the bedside, and at the appropriate times, you know, I'm coach. That's my title, right? And by the way, my wife gave me permission to share this, so I'm not violating HIPAA laws, okay? She certainly wouldn't sue me anyway, though, would she? I don't know. But she said I could tell you all this, but I was standing along the bedside. I'm coach, and I, you know, at the right time, I'm going hee hee hoo hoo ha ha, you know, trying to get her to breathe as she's supposed to. And she responded to me with clenched teeth, saying this: "Get out of my face." And in that second, weeks and weeks of training down the drain, I just went over the corner, sat down. I was done. Coach's work was finished. And the nurses, the doctor, everybody else just took over. And thankfully, a healthy child was born to us. I even think I made it to watch night service, didn't I, late? I did. That's how faithful I am. I think I did. No. Yeah, because she was born 2:43 in the morning. So that evening, I was in watch night service. I got my tax deduction, I think, was my testimony. But suffice it to say, Mary was in distress, okay? On that first Christmas. And stress, I know, in our day and time is a little different than in Bible times in the 21st century. And Christmas can even make it a little worse for some. We might be stressed out financially. You know, we don't have enough month at the end of our money. And I heard of a guy who wanted to go to a creditor and said, "We're having trouble with your easy payment plan. Do you have an easier one?" But it's really no laughing matter when you're unemployed or underemployed and the bills come due and you're trying to figure out everything going on. We could be stressed physically. What is it someone said? My get up and go, got up and went. And we can find that the hectic pace of life and crowded schedules and multiple demands can take their toll on us physically, especially if you're a perfectionist, right? There can be that effect. And we might even be stressed relationally. Stress really does result when relationships of any type go sour, spouse to spouse, parent to child, friend to friend, employer to employee, church member to church member. When there's things not going right in a relationship, it can bring stress. And certainly there are dark days of distress that come from all various sources. And then there are dark days of disappointment. Job said this, "When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness." You ever felt that way? Expecting one thing and got essentially the opposite. Disappointment is a common experience of life. Things don't always go your way. And I know the majority of you have figured that out by now. They're not always to your liking. And they come from a variety of sources on a more practical, maybe even minor level. Events that we attend can disappoint us. Restaurants can disappoint us, the food and or service. Products can disappoint us. They don't live up to their advertising or reputation. And frankly, people can disappoint us. Many disappointments do stem from relationships with people and the situations involving them. And let's just be candid. It's disappointing when people let us down, right? It's disappointing when people prove unreliable or break a promise. It's disappointing when people don't appreciate it when we've done something for them. It's disappointing when people tell you one thing but then do another when they hurt you, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally. Life does bring disappointment, whether on a minor scale or a major scale. We all go through dark days of disappointment. So what is it that we should do in our dark days? What's the antidote? Or more specifically, how is it that Jesus can dispel our darkness? In the dark days of doubt, for one, I will say this, Jesus does assure and guide you. John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And if I may suggest, the best way to follow Jesus is not with just a casual acknowledgement of him, or lip service, as we might say, but the best way, really the only way to follow Jesus, is both to hear his word and to obey his word. To follow his will for your life. His words, he said, are spirit and they are life. His words, he said, shall not pass away, even though heaven and earth would pass away. Jesus said, my words shall not pass away. So when you face doubts, feeling worried, uptight, and your stomach is churning, there is a reliable source that will give you the right guidance and never steer you in the wrong direction. And that source I'm holding in my hand, it's the word of God. As simplistic and naive as this might sound to some, I'm telling you, here's where you find direction in days of doubt. Here's where you find answers in times of uncertainty. There is a clear path for us in the Word of God. Here's what David said, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." If you're in a dark day of doubt, I want you to know there's an answer for you. Get your nose in this book, if I can say it that way. Investigate it. Explore it. Study it. You're going to find God has solutions. God has answers. God has direction if you'll but seek it out in his word that is forever inspired and settled. It's the only reliable guide for the Christian life. And it truly will illuminate your mind and your path and keep you from stumbling so that you can see things clearly, spiritually especially. The psalmist said this, "The entrance of your words." And obviously that would be into our minds and hearts. It gives light. The entrance of your words gives light and it gives understanding. So this word is going to shine the light of truth for you. It'll shine the light of truth that Jesus truly is the only means of salvation. That Jesus truly is a healer. Jesus truly is a provider. Jesus truly is one who is with you always. He truly is a help in trouble. This book will light that to your mind. The light of his word, it assures and guides you in a dark day of doubt. There's also those dark days of distress. And in those, Jesus is going to strengthen you or give you peace. Sometimes at Christmas, we overlook Joseph's part in all of this. And in Matthew's gospel, we're told that being engaged to Mary, he learned that she was expecting a child. And in biblical times, an engagement was just like marriage. It was a done deal. It's just that they hadn't consummated the marriage. And so when Joseph found this out, he was distressed. And he wasn't sure what to do. He was a very just man. And so he was going through his mind, you know, how can I sever this relationship and respect Mary to the best of my ability and kind of shield her from as much shame as I could. He was thinking on these things, Matthew Gospel says. While he thought on these things, he said he then had a dream and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him saying, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Joseph's distress was relieved by learning that God had a plan. A plan that involved him and so much else. And it is so settling when you realize God's got a design for you. A purpose in those dark days of distress. Jeremiah 29:11, it's become a rather popular verse, but no less true. The Lord says to the prophet Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, as that verse says, the Lord's saying, I have plans to prosper you, to not harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. That's God's plan for us. In this instance, the verse was referring to Israel's captivity and was assuring them that they wouldn't be abandoned, that God would not leave them in exile, but he had a plan for their restoration. Clearly, that doesn't apply to us literally, but there is a spiritual promise in that, letting us know that we're in the dark days of distress. And when we're feeling strained, whether it's physically or financially or relationally or any other way, notice those words, hope and future. God's got a future for you. God's got a hope that you can hold on to both in this life and in the life to come. So when you are in a dark day of distress, you just tell that enemy of distress as Micah did, don't rejoice against me because when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me. Micah said, I've got a source of light. Even though I'm in the dark, there's still a light that shines on me. The psalmist said, the Lord is, present tense, my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Somebody told me, I didn't count them, but somebody said there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. And if that's true, you can average it out. There's one for every day of the year, letting you know that God's going to be with you through all the darkness. Whatever that represents, distress, trouble, perplexity, his presence, his light, your salvation is going to bring relief and calm and direction and meaning and certainty in your life if you'll but follow the light of his word and his presence. God's got a plan for you. And in the dark days of disappointment, the Lord will encourage you. The psalmist said, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And ones with a broken heart might feel like he's a million miles away, but he's not. Some of you I know have had tough times this year. It's been disappointing for one reason or several reasons or another. And maybe the question has come, where is God in all of the disappointment? I don't mean to sound like a smart aleck. I don't mean it that way at all. But if I can say it, he's where he's always been. He's never left you. Never abandoned you. Despite feelings, he's there. He's still Emmanuel, God with us. Still Emmanuel, God with us. He encourages us in our disappointing times by reminding us you'll never go through anything alone. God may not always deliver us out of stuff, but he will go through it with us. He's never going to leave us. He said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. The light of God's presence, the light of God's love is continually with you, no matter how dark it seems. Life was flowing with relative smoothness for the disciples of Jesus for about 3.5 years. These men had been called by him and given up their occupation, become disciples. And during this period of time, Jesus had been to them a counselor, a guide, a friend. Through it all, he had instructed them, put up with their prejudices, their ignorance. He had consoled them in times of despondency. He was there for them. Then in John 14, Jesus starts speaking some rather disappointing words. He started talking about going away, leaving them. you can imagine their shock at the news of his departure. I mean, they placed all their hopes in him as far as Jews were concerned as a nation. That was the one. They had forsaken everything to follow him, and now he's talking about leaving. They didn't know where he was going. Thomas even voiced that, and we don't know how to get to where you're going. It was such confusion and such disappointment all at once. But Jesus encouraged them in that moment by essentially saying, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. He explained, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. In other words, a helper, an encourager, that he may abide with you forever. And he said, you'll know the comforter because right now he's with you. You're looking at him, Jesus said. But he will be in you. I, personal pronoun, will not leave you comfortless. I, personal pronoun, will come to you. That was his assurance. It was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus would be able to comfort and guide and direct them just as if he had remained there personally with them or physically with them. Jesus wasn't sending another separate and distinct person. He said, I will come to you. It was Jesus coming in another form, namely his Spirit. And when you receive the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and by the way, it's God's will for every believer to have his Spirit. It's God's will and God's plan. When you put faith in Christ and repent of your sins and are baptized in his name, he promises, it's his expectation that every believer would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's called the Comforter, the Helper, the Encouragement. It means, in short, Christ in you. And without the limitations of his flesh, Jesus is free to indwell every believer. Each of us can have Jesus living on the inside of us. Isn't that thrilling to recognize that it's not anything confined or in one location, but his Spirit can dwell in all of us wherever we go. And so he's your encouragement in those times of disappointment. Through his presence, his abiding presence, he's there at all times. He's with you. He'll never leave, never forsake. It is a promise of his word. He's going to be there with you in every situation to dispel the darkness just by his presence alone and bring encouragement to you. That's what he does in the dark days of disappointment. In closing, I want to offer one more verse of scripture. It's in 2 Samuel, but it's really a psalm of David. And David confidently declares in 2 Samuel 22:29, he says, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten or enlighten my darkness. David was confidently saying that the Lord is going to turn my darkness into light. Confident of that. And again, I hope you don't take it as a backpedaling or a disclaimer. We don't always know when that's going to happen, but we've got the assurance he will accomplish it. He will do it. It's up to us to continue believing and trusting. That's our role. He said confidently, God's going to drive out the darkness. He's going to dispel it. So today in dark days, be assured God will show you his light. Whether it's his light of guidance through the word, and I can't say how important that is to follow this book and to understand it and to look into it deeply. He'll let that light of guidance shine on you, his peace, his assurance, and certainly his presence. That light will preserve you. That light will see you through and ensure that you survive. He's going to dispel the darkness. Going to dispel the darkness, and he is going to show the way. That's the light of Christmas, which is Jesus. Jesus for your dark days. And I'm aware that not all of us are in dark days, but for those that are, I especially appeal to you. Look to Jesus. Let his light, he said, I am come as a light in this world. First and foremost, to save us. Even after we've experienced salvation, there'll be dark days. But he said, my light is continual. It's there. When I sit in darkness, Micah said, the Lord shall be a light to me. The Lord shall be a light to me. That's the light of Christmas. Jesus Christ for your dark days. If you'd stand with me. On that first Christmas, as I noted earlier, wise men saw a star in the east, followed it, brought them to Jerusalem, and they came asking the question, where is he born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Presumably other people saw that light, as unusual as it was. And also presumably they didn't do anything about it. The wise men, though, saw it, but then followed it. And I think you'll agree, it's one thing to know that there's light in Jesus Christ. It's another thing to follow that light, to pursue it. You can know up here, but it's another thing to put into action. Use your faith. Put trust in Christ. Follow His Word. So today, in closing, I just want to open this altar to everybody who's willing to open your heart to the light, to let it shine, the light of His Word, His peace, His presence. And by inviting everybody, I hope it doesn't single anybody out that's particularly in a dark day. I want you to not feel singled out. And so if we'll all find a place of prayer, those of you particularly with dark days, I want you to come and look to Jesus Christ as being your light, whatever the situation. But if you're willing to open your heart, if you're willing to choose to live in the light of Jesus Christ, I invite you to come today. And whether you stand, kneel, wherever you can squeeze in is fine. But let's turn this place into a place of prayer where we respond and offer ourselves to Him together as believers. Oh, He's the light today. He is the light.